You're listening to Benefit from the Bible. Today's message begins our 11-part sermon series entitled God with Us. If you would like access to the brochure that lays out the entire series, go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, click on Learn About Us, and then click on Brochures. The best way to search is simply to put God with Us in the search block. It will take you right to the brochure. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we begin our 11-part Advent series entitled God with Us. These are some aspects of this series which we will cover over the next 11 weeks. Before the Son of God put on flesh and blood, he did exist with God the Father before the creation of the world. God the Father then worked through the Son in order to create all things. The Son of God, think about him like this. Think about him as the golden thread from God to Adam, to Abraham, to David, and to many others, all the way through to Joseph, and finally to Jesus himself, God in the flesh. Also, too, in this series, keep in mind that when the time was right, in the fullness of time, that is when God set in motion an important series of events covering approximately 2 years of time in order to bring the Son of God into the world and finally to establish him and his family in Nazareth. Thus, Jesus became known as Jesus of Nazareth. Today, regarding the God with Us brochure, we're going to focus on the section of the Old Testament timeline that you find in your service folder today, or you can take a look at the brochure if you have that with you. Looking at that section of the timeline, we're focusing on the number ones today because this is the first part of the series. So you can see a number one there at the beginning. The Son was with God the Father before creation. And then you can see another number one right after that. The Father created all things through the Son. So we're talking about things that happened either before the time of creation or right at the time of creation. So we're talking about things that would be 6,000 years ago and then even beyond, farther back 6,000 years ago. You can see how it fits in a little bit with the rest of the timeline too, which we will come to in the weeks ahead. Coming to part one today, we focus on John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Keep in mind this series is a chronology of the four Gospels regarding our Savior's birth. So we don't begin in Matthew, we begin in John, and we begin with the Son being with God the Father before creation. As we think about the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we see John, the gospel writer, he begins his gospel in a similar way, in the beginning. So John is really wanting us to think about the very beginning and even before the very beginning is what John takes us back to. So in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. So that might sound a little bit confusing. It might even sound like double talk, but let's sort this out a little bit. So the question would be, who is the Word? Because it said that the Word was not only with God in the beginning, but the Word was God. So the question is, who is the Word? Well, God told us, if we simply go a little bit further in the Gospel of John, and we come to verse 14, God tells us who the Word of God is. The Bible says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So this Word of God that existed with God the Father before creation, in the fullness of time, he dwelt among us by putting on human flesh. So the Word of God is the very Son of God. Think about it in that way. The next question I have there, is Jesus merely from 2,000 years ago? Of course, that would be the approximate time when he put on human flesh. Let's know that he is so much more than that. Even though people today, don't they get that idea? They want to say, oh, that Jesus about 2,000 years ago, that was the beginning of Christianity. There are other religions more ancient than Christianity. Those must be more important because they're older. They're missing the whole point. God wants us to know that the Son of God, who is the Word of God, he is the one who ultimately is our Savior, and he existed with God before the creation of the world. We confess these words in the Athanasian Creed. Keep in mind with the creeds are simply taking truth in the Bible and putting it in a systematic way so we can focus in a certain direction and understand a certain reality. A creed is not making up something apart from the Bible, but it's simply taking Bible information and putting it in an understandable manner. In the Athanasian Creed, we confess. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man. So important that we know that truth. Many people in the world today, I don't think they're aware of really who Jesus is, what his origins are, and how awesome he is. Other passages that place the Son of God before creation, well, let me share just a couple with you. We go to John chapter 17. That is where Jesus was praying what we call sometimes his high priestly prayer. And in verse 5, Jesus prayed, Father, glorify me in your presence. Keep in mind now as he's praying, he is God in human flesh, so he's praying, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So Jesus himself is pointing back to that time when he was with the Father before the world began. Very similar, later on in the prayer, in verse 24, Jesus prayed, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So again, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, that was not the beginning of his existence by any means. Very clearly, from the few places I've shown you and from many other places in Scripture, he existed with the Father before creation. In the second part of today's sermon, we go on now in John chapter 1, and we're going to verses 3, 4, and 5. So in these verses, we're going to see that the Father did create. He created all things, but he did that creating work through his Son. So we've already established that the Son was with the Father before creation, and then regarding the Word of God, who eventually put on human flesh, John wrote, picking up here in verse 3. Through, or another way to translate that Greek word would be on account of, so either through or on account of him, talking about the Word who was with God, who eventually became flesh, through or on account of him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Doesn't that seem a bit confusing? We confess that the Father is the Creator, but here it is saying nothing was made, not a single thing was made, apart from the Son of God, or we might call him the Word of God. So we might say, who really is the Creator then? Is it the Father or is it the Son? In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So we are attributing creation to the Father in the Apostles' Creed. What about in the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. So again, we are saying the Father is the one who created. But yet here in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, without him, that would be without the Son of God, nothing was made that has been made. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Well, God wants us to know that the Father is the Creator, because the Bible does state that reality, but let's understand, though, that he did that creating work through the Son, so they worked together, the Father doing the creating work, but doing it through his Son. Sometimes we talk about this idea of the Father being the architect and the Son being the general contractor. So you think about the architect drawing the plans for the building, but then the general contractor actually doing the work to construct the building. That might be a little bit helpful, pointing in that direction to see how the Father and the Son were working together in order to make all things. Paul wrote these words in reference to Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. Talking about Jesus, he wrote, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him," now we're talking here, when it says by him, we're talking about the Son of God, the Word of God, the one who existed with God before creation, "for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible." So again, we're seeing this reality, how creation in some places is attributed to the Father. In other places, it is attributed to the Son. But those are not contradictions. When we really take it all together, we can see how, in fact, the Father was working through the Son in order to create all things. Sometimes we add in the idea of the Holy Spirit being involved as well, sometimes calling him the building inspector, as we see him mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 2. But I think the Holy Spirit did even more than just look things over. He was also part of this wonderful creation that God has made. Going on now to verse 4 of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In him," again, we're talking about the Word of God, which was referenced in verse 1, "in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." What does that mean? Let's break this down a little bit. First of all, in him was life. So life is the Greek word zoe. So in him was zoe. According to a Greek scholar named Gingrich, the Word of God being life. So this Word of God that existed with God before creation, this Word of God being life itself, means the life belonging to God, Christ, and the believer. What does that mean? If you think it through, I believe it means that life in this context, let me go back for a moment, in him was life. So what does that mean? Life in this context refers to spiritual and eternal life. So that is a life. We're not talking physical, we're talking spiritual, eternal. So we're talking about a life that God must begin and God must sustain. And how does God do that? God does that by bringing us in union with our Lord Jesus Christ and keeping us in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about having this reality of spiritual life, of eternal life, that's coming from Christ himself. He is the source of that life. Doesn't that make sense now when you think about the Bible? The Bible talks about how when we know him, when we are united to him, we have life. when we don't know him, when we're not united to him, we don't have life. I mean, he is the source. Think about having something that's electric and you have it plugged in, and while it's plugged in, it's functioning. As soon as you pull the plug, it stops functioning. God wants us to know that we must be plugged in to Jesus Christ in order to have the benefits of what he has done for us. When we become unplugged, then we are no longer benefiting from his great saving work. And then it went on to say, there in John chapter 1, that life, the life we've just identified now, that life was the light of men. So the Greek word for light is pronounced phos. Well, in the Old Testament, it talks about God's word itself being the light. You're all familiar with what the psalmist prayed there in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God's word was guiding people's feet, was showing them what direction to go in as they move forward down the path. So that was in the Old Testament, though. But what was the Word of God doing in the Old Testament? It was pointing to who? To our Lord Jesus Christ. So that pointing to Christ, we see culminate here in John chapter 8 when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So the Word of God, which was the light in the Old Testament, was pointing to the true light, who was our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But the sad part is, so it goes on to say there in John chapter 1, the darkness has not understood it. So here is the Son of God, the Word of God, who was with God the Father before creation, the one through whom God the Father made all things. Finally, in the fullness of time, he puts on human flesh and he comes into the world among people. He is the light. He is the source of spiritual life and eternal life. He comes into the darkness. He is the great light that all people need, and yet the darkness did not understand it. What a sad thing. When it talks about the darkness, it's referring to people in the world who are spiritually blind and spiritually dead. For such people, Jesus Christ is exactly what they need, but the problem is they are unaware of their need for him and they are uninterested in him. And sometimes people are not simply taking a passive approach, sometimes they're even taking an aggressive negative approach, which is even more sad. Jesus said these words to people who were lukewarm. If we go to Revelation chapter 3, he talks about people who were lukewarm. And what could we say about people who are lukewarm? We could say that they are spiritually half-hearted. It's never good to be half-hearted when we come to the things of God, but these people were spiritually half-hearted. Jesus said to them, you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. That's their view of things. So they would say to themselves, hey, I'm rich. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine without Jesus. I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing. I'm set. Don't bother me. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about people who are blind and dead spiritually, but the problem is they're blinded to that reality. They can't see the reality of their need, so they think everything is fine when in fact it's not. Again, Jesus said to them, you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And then Jesus said, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So they thought their situation was really good, but the problem is they were blinded to their reality And when you look at their true condition, Jesus could see their true condition. He is God in the flesh. He knows it. He could see it. And he said, your condition is horrible. I believe that's the world we live in today for us. What's our situation? We know that we are poor, miserable sinners. We know we can't fix that. So knowing that bad news, God has shown us the good news. We are so blessed. But for most people, though, they're basically saying, I'm doing okay, and I don't need that Jesus stuff. But the problem is, they have a warped perspective on reality. They think they're okay, when in fact they're not. So what is the remedy? Well, Jesus told us what the remedy is. The remedy is to continue in his word. Jesus said in John chapter 8, for those who do continue in his word, he said, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the problem with people with that warped sense of reality, they cannot see the truth. What does God do through his word? The Holy Spirit is working through that word to show people like you and me, and like anyone in the entire world, to show us that the reality that we are seeing is not true reality. So God shows us our sad condition. God makes us sorry for how we have contributed to that sad condition. And then God shows us how he has fixed it in Jesus Christ. Well, in part one of God with Us, God has helped us understand that the one who lived for us and the one who died for us, he was with the Father in eternity. He was the one through whom God the Father created all things, and he is our source of spiritual and eternal life. May God help us to marvel at what he has done, at how much he loves us, and how much we are blessed. May that give us great joy, and may that joy move us to share with others the truth, so that by that truth, God can bring them also into a position of great joy in Jesus. I invite you to join us this coming Sunday. The idea of this series is that every Wednesday and every Sunday are tying into the series. So this is that time of the year where you're not saying to yourself, okay, am I going to go this week on Sunday or am I going to go this week on Wednesday? That's not the idea. Now, during other times of the year, you might say, am I going to go on Sunday or am I going to go on Monday? That would be legitimate. This is not that time of the year. This time of the year, you say, okay, I've got the check mark on my calendar on Sunday. Oh, yeah, I've got another check mark there on Wednesday as well. And when we come to the week of Christmas, you want to have a check mark on Sunday, on Wednesday, and also on Thursday, because that's also another part of the series. So I'm hoping that you'll come week by week. A lot of information in the brochure, but there's so much more to share than what's in the brochure. So please come this Sunday as we connect the dots from Abraham through David to Joseph all the way to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. To ask a question, write us at questions@benefitfromthebible.com. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.